Hello, everyone, and welcome into this episode of the Bear Down Buzz podcast. As always, myself, Eli, joined by Joe and Isaac. Fellas, once again, it is preview episode. We face off against the San Francisco 49ers this week. And there has been a bit of news in regards to our head coaching search with this 49ers team that we'll get into near the tail end of this episode. But first, Joe, as usual, if you have it pulled up, if you can list off the Bears injury report this week. And I've heard that it's a pretty laundry list of players on this Bears squad.
Yeah. So the injury report is very long. For the past couple of games, we've been going over just the major injuries. Well, there's a bunch of names. Half of our starting lineup is hurt. So I think they're all pretty major injuries. Ryan Bates has a concussion. He has not practiced the past 2 days. He probably won't play on Sunday. Elijah Hicks has not practiced with his ankle injury. Roshan Johnson also suffered a concussion against the Lions, and he has not practiced the past 2 days. Sadius Lewis, that's a veteran rest day. DJ Moore has a quad injury, and he hasn't practiced on Wednesday or Thursday. DeAndre Swift has not practiced with a quad injury on Wednesday or Thursday. Kevin Byard has been limited both Wednesday and Thursday with a shoulder injury. Coleman Shelton has a knee injury and has been limited both Wednesday and Thursday. Keenan Allen did not practice on Wednesday with an ankle, but did practice on Thursday in full. And then Darnell Wright, this is the best news. He was limited, especially because he got carted off on Thursday. He was limited with a knee injury on Wednesday, but then he practiced in full on Thursday. So it seems like Darnell Wright and Keenan Allen will be good to go on Sunday. I'm a little worried about the health of DeAndre Swift and DJ Moore. I think a lot of people believe that DJ Moore will play. I'm more worried about DeAndre Swift, especially because Roshan's probably not going to play because he's a concussion. If we don't have Swift, that leaves us with Metric Felton and Travis Homer. That's not a great backfield. And especially with the quad injury, it's very worrying that Swift is going to be as explosive if he does play. So, like, I don't know. I think Swift is probably the biggest injury on this list. Yeah, that's at least in my opinion, Swift is the biggest injury on this list. I'll move over to you, Isaac. What are your thoughts on this injury report?
Yeah, I mean, the timing of it is so bad because for the last couple of weeks, I didn't really care if the Bears were going to win or not because of I just wanted Eberflus fired. And now that he's actually fired, I want this Bears team to start winning. The good news is that Keenan Allen and Darnell Wright were both full participants on Thursday, which is huge. I think, I was worried about Darnell Wright the most because if he didn't play, Larry Borum probably would have stepped in at right tackle, and he is not good at all. But besides that, like you mentioned, Joe, I think DeAndre Swift is the biggest injury by far because without him, we basically have no running back that's a viable option for us against this San Francisco 49ers defense. And for Coleman Shelton with limited with a knee injury, that's also a big deal because I believe who was it that stepped in for him when he was out? I think it was it Doug Kramer? Yeah, Doug Kramer. Okay. Yeah, so hopefully Shelton can play. But besides that, if DJ Moore, I feel like DJ Moore, every game he has a catch and he comes down and he looks injured. Like, he just doesn't look 100%. So if this is a week that DJ Moore doesn't play, I'll be fine with it. I'd rather have him be fully recovered and healthy, and especially that we're going to have Keenan and Rome Odunze available on Sunday. Maybe the Bears will tell him, like, hey, like, just let's just take this week off, like, make sure you're full recovery and then move on to the next. But for Swift, it would be a different case. I'll be like telling Swift, okay, you kind of have to really play because Roshan Johnson has a concussion. He's not going to play. But yeah, that's basically my thoughts on the Bears injury report. And I'll toss it back to you, Eli, and your thoughts on this injury report.
Yeah, so a couple things stand out to me with this. And I think the whole conversation that we originally had earlier in the year when the Khalil Herbert trade discussion was going on, this is kind of what we were talking about when you talk about the injuries that happen to the running back room in Chicago. We saw it last year At one point in that Washington game, Kari Blassen game was running back one. And now we find ourselves in a similar situation to that again. So long story short, if DeAndre Swift can't go, yeah, the Bears are going to be hurting in the run game. As much as, in the limited time we've seen Felton and Cleveland have a few spurts here and there, I don't know if I trust him for an entire game to be running back one. And I definitely don't really trust Homer to be in that role either. So that's definitely probably the biggest one to me. Another underrated one. Before I get into that, Joe, yeah, you go ahead.
We still have Darrington Evans on the practice squad, because if we do, it'll be that them two and him at running back if Swift doesn't play.
Yeah, I'd have to check into that. I believe we still do. I just haven't heard any more news regarding that signing. If he was dropped or stayed on the practice squad. So we'll have to look into that more. But I would feel better about Darrington Evans because he has had that starting experience in our system. So I would feel better about Evans getting the start there. But when it comes to some of these other injuries, I think Kevin Byard is another one of those that sneakily could be very important because now you would be looking at a backfield, excuse me, a secondary without Elijah Hicks and Brisker. Going back to the Darrington Evans thing, he is still on the practice squad. So thanks for the clarification there. But this secondary could look a whole lot different if Byard wasn't able to go. I think he's trending towards playing. So, those limited designations are kind of hit and miss there. So hopefully he'll play. But again, this secondary could look a lot different without both Brisker and Kevin Byard, as well as the backup Hicks not being able to go. Looks like it would be Owens in that case that would be the starter back there. But do you guys have anything else regarding the Bears injury report before I get into the 49ers side of things? All right, so just quickly, the big ones, obviously, Christian McCaffrey once again hurt with a calf injury. He's probably out for the rest of the year. It sounds like PCL, I believe, was his injury there to his left calf. You just hate to see that because he is an incredible player, just in general, but he's just had a rough go with this season. So, hopefully he can get healthy for next year and get back to the player that we all know him to be. And then to add insult to injury, Jordan Mason, his backup that had a pretty good year, is also out with an ankle injury. So, they are hurting there in the running back room. But some big names on the injury report as well. Nick Bosa did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong on the Thursday. There isn't a designation here yet for Bosa, but DNP on Wednesday. Trent Williams, Dre Greenlaw, and Talanoa Hufanga. Greenlaw and Hufanga were both limited, and then Williams did not practice on Wednesday as well. Again, this is on the Wednesday designations. This site doesn't have the Thursday designation, so I'd have to check elsewhere for that. And then Brock Purdy has been banged up, but he was a full participant on Wednesday. So they're also pretty banged up. It should be, kind of, don't want to say equal when it comes to these injury reports, but to say the least, both teams are pretty banged up when it comes to injuries going into this matchup on Sunday. Isaac, I'll start with you. Any big names that stand out to you on this 49ers injury report?
So, like you mentioned, similar to what the Bears are dealing with, the running back room is depleted in San Francisco. So Isaac Arendo is going to be the main running back. I think he's good. He's a rookie. He has a lot of upside, but like you mentioned, Christian McCaffrey is a one of one player. He is special, and it's unfortunate to see him go down with a PCL injury because I feel like this is the injury where he's not going to be the same player when he comes back, and it's unfortunate and it sucks. And I hate that running backs have such a short lifespan. Like, it wasn't too long ago that Todd Gurley was the top running back in the NFL, and then he just fell out of the face of the earth and was never seen again. But hopefully that's not the case for McCaffrey. I feel like McCaffrey is able to, come back eventually and hopefully be the same player he was previously. But I mean, besides that, like, if Nick Bosa can't play on Sunday, that's gonna be huge, especially against our offensive line that isn't the best. But I saw something on PFF that was ranking the top tackles of week 13, and both Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones were on that list. So I think the Bears have a really good shot of beating the 49ers this week. And with these 49er injuries, it's just making it easier for us. And we really need to have this win because after this, we're going to go on a 3-game streak where it's 3 games in 10 days. So we're going to play Monday night and then Sunday and then Thursday. So it's going to be a really short stretch where you're going to have to play a lot of football. So hopefully, the Bears can get a win in the Thomas Brown era, get everyone's confidence boosting because a 6-game losing streak can have some really bad mental effects on players, and hopefully we could change that. And then I'll toss it over to you, Joe, and if you have any thoughts on the San Francisco 49ers injuries.
Yeah, from what I've heard, it doesn't sound like Trent Williams will play on Sunday. So that's good news to Bears because that means they, or I think it was Trent Williams. It might have been Nick Bosa. Either one of the two or both of them are not going to play. In either case, if Williams doesn't play, that's good because that gives the Bears pass rush a little bit more ability to get to Brock Purdy. And then if Bosa doesn't play, he's basically been there. Best, well, not basically. He is their best pass rusher and basically their only pass rush this year. So it really hurts their chances of getting to Caleb Williams on Sunday, which is what we need because Caleb's been sacked 49 times already this year. And if there's no Nick Bosa, that we might only suffer like 1 or 2 sacks this week. If Bosa was playing, I guarantee that we would he would at least get 2 by himself. So those are probably the 2 biggest injuries, and then obviously, like you guys said, McCaffrey sucks that he's hurt, and then Mason, like Isaac, meant, or not Isaac, at, like Eli mentioned, Mason's hurt, and that sucks for them because he's been looking like a really good running back when McCaffrey has been out, and without him, yeah, like you said, there of Isaac Grando, he's his main thing is speed. So if you can slow him down somehow, and the Bears haven't been able to stop the run this year, like we talked about, but we also have a different person calling the plays now, so maybe that's a little bit different. Talk about that and a lot more in a little bit. But yeah, I think those are the major injuries for the Niners. I'll pass it back over to you, Eli.
Yeah, so just to confirm, I did catch an updated injury report. Nick Bosa did not practice on Thursday. Trent Williams did not practice on Thursday. And Aaron Banks, Jordan Mason, and George Odom, a safety, also did not practice on Thursday. And Talanoa Hufanga was limited, the big names there, as well as Dre Greenlaw. He was limited in practice on Thursday. So it looks like it's trending for Bosa and Trent Williams not to play on Sunday. So again, two huge names for the Niners there. Just a squad that's been banged up this entire year. And it seems like the Bears, are suffering injuries of their own, but we might catch this team at a decent time to where we can squeak out a win. At least it seems like that way. But do you guys have anything else with this injury report before we kind of get into the nitty-gritty of what the Bears need to do before Sunday to, or I guess on Sunday to win this game? So we'll get right into that. Joe, I will start with you. This Niners team, it seems kind of underwhelming to say that it's a Super Bowl hangover, but they are struggling heavily this year, and whether that's due to injuries or just Kyle Shanahan not being on the same page with this Niners squad right now, what do you personally think that the Bears need to capitalize on Sunday to match up well against this 49ers squad and potentially come out with a win and end this losing game streak for the Bears?
Sorry, I'm trying to pull up their rushing defense real quick, because I was looking at it earlier. I think, well, not I think they're currently ranked as the 15th rushing defense in yards per game. I don't have the exact stat but yet of how many yards they give up, but I think they definitely need to to establish the run game against them. And we've talked about how Swift might be out and Roshan might be out. So it might be a little bit difficult, but you need not might be. It'll be difficult if those two guys are out. But you need to try to do it. You need to establish the run as best as you can. Over well this season, the Niners allow 119.9 yards per game on the ground, which is 15th in the NFL. I think a lot of that got a lot of those numbers got worse the past 2 weeks because they've been gashed by the Packers and the Bills. So, but still, I mean, so we can somehow find a running game that'll A, help Caleb. We've talked about it all year. And a running game helps any quarterback, especially a rookie quarterback. So they need to find that. And then I'd be interested to see if Eric Washington calls more pressures, more blitzes than Eberflus did. I think we kind of all forget because he stopped doing it this year. But when he first started taking over play calling, the defense was a little bit more aggressive and blitzed and had more exotic pressures. Now, like I said, that went away this year, which is weird. You would think that Flus would call the same style of defense and consider to pressure, especially because, yeah, they may have upgraded a little bit on the defensive line, but it's not wasn't a significant upgrade over last season. But he didn't, so hope we'll be interesting to see if Eric Washington does call more blitzes. And then just, I guess, how much Thomas Brown being on the sideline actually impacts the offensive play calling. I'm hoping it isn't impacted a lot. It seems like he's a pretty set in stone guy and knows what he's doing, but we'll have to see. I also hope it just works out because if he proves to be a good interim head coach, Bears could hire him. Well, we talked about it last episode. It's not very likely, but who knows? Anything could happen. Yeah, I'll pass it over to you, Isaac. What do you think are the keys for the Bears in this game?
So, I want to say something. Like, this is the first time in history that the Bears have fired a coach mid-season. So, I've never seen something where we get a whole new head coach, during the season. So, like Joe was mentioning, I am extremely interested to see how the Bears defense performs and if Eric Washington changes up any of the scheme. I think, like Joe mentioned, Eberflus just he I don't know what happened. Like, he was doing a good job last year of dialing up like specific packages where he would blitz, but not a lot. It was a good amount. And then this year it just disappeared. Like, the Bears were playing so soft on defense. It was soft coverage, like zone coverage. It just looked like it was going to be an easy 10 yards for the other team every time. So with Eric Washington, I hope things are different. I hope he kind of calls up some schemes that confuse Brock Purdy, and then we could get maybe some more turnovers and stuff like that, because we haven't had a lot of like interceptions and stuff like that. But one thing I do want to talk about is the run game. So this is I want to say hopefully Swift plays, because if he does, it's going to be huge. But last week the Bears run game was atrocious. So Swift had 11 carries for 39 yards. Caleb Williams had the same amount of rushing yards and only 4 attempts. So it was 4 attempts, 39 rushing yards for Caleb Williams versus 11 attempts, 39 rushing yards for Swift. So the Bears kind of abandoned the run game on offense last week against Detroit. And if they would have, stayed on course with it, I think the Bears would have had a way better shot of winning. Because, I mean, yeah, like Swift has those games where he just doesn't get a lot of yards. But then, for example, like the Washington Commanders game, it was the same thing. Like, it just wasn't working. And all of a sudden, he had a 53, 54-yard touchdown. So we got to stick to the run game on Sunday. Like, I hope Thomas Brown doesn't just abandon it mid-game, because it makes it harder for Caleb Williams. Like, you're asking too much for your rookie to do all this stuff. Like, I'm happy that he's throwing for over 300 yards and multiple touchdowns, but it takes a toll on a quarterback. Caleb Williams is the most sacked quarterback in the NFL right now with 49 sacks, and it's not good. And as much as I bash on the offensive line for not being the best, some of it is on Caleb Williams. Like, you got to get rid of the ball faster. You can't just sit in the pocket forever and expect your offensive line to block for you for more than like 5 seconds. So those are basically like the main things I wanted to highlight for this game. Eli, did you have anything you want to mention in terms of the 49ers game?
Yeah, I like that you brought up the difference in play calling, which I think it was either, obviously, it was either you or Joe, but I can't remember which one of you mentioned the change in play calling under defensive coordinator for the Bears. Again, name just flew out of my mind real quick, but regardless, I'm also interested to see what the split between Terrell Smith and Tyreek Stevenson will be on Sunday, because we had seen that trend kind of flip where Terrell Smith was getting, more, if not more playing time, if not more than Tyreek Stevenson is what I'm trying to say. But I want to see if, our defensive coordinator sees that sees potential still in Tyreek Stevenson and puts him as the starter out in that secondary. Or if he's going to keep the trend that Flus had been going with and have Terrell Smith out on the field more often. But yeah, again, that'll be interesting. Another thing that I think the Bears need to do is to make Brock Purdy play from the pocket. Last season, the last few years, he's been a good quarterback. I don't think he's in the upper echelon of, elite quarterback play in the NFL, but I do think he is a good quarterback. But this season, he struggled a bit. Whether that's due to injury or just, a slump he's in. His current stat line right now is 65.7% completion percentage, just over 2,700 passing yards, 13 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions on the year. So not a bad stat line, but also it could definitely be better for the team that he's on and just seeing what he's done in the past. I think this is an opportunity for the Bears to have a good day on the defense, especially in the secondary. Now, we mentioned injuries and everything earlier, so that could hinder our possibilities for this game, but make him play from the pocket. I think the defenses in this game are going to have a similar game plan. We've talked about it all year. Caleb Williams on the move is almost better than he is from the pocket. Now he can do both. But I think both defenses are going to want to make the opposing quarterback play from the pocket and kind of try to limit the out of structure play, the plays and the sideline throws and everything like that. Brock Purdy is good at that. I think Caleb Williams is better in that department, but somewhat of a similar play style and a similar game plan, I think both defenses might have for both offenses' quarterbacks this week. Now, again, I think with the rushing attack that you guys have kind of mentioned, I agree. If DeAndre Swift can go, it'll be perfect. But this will be the perfect week if he can't to try to have a balanced rushing attack with your quarterback as well as your running back. It seems like in the last few weeks they've really dialed up these design runs for Caleb Williams and it's worked, but I think we need to see more of it moving forward and for the rest of the year just to kind of keep defenses on their heels. There's not a lot of film out there when it comes to Caleb Williams' rushing attack, at least in the NFL. You can go back to college and kind of make whatever argument you want for that, but use that ability for him because it's something he does well. And that's the NFL, play to your player's strengths. But that's kind of my overall thought process when it comes to attacking this Niners defense and both teams kind of game plan for each other. But do you guys have anything else regarding potential keys to victory or anything having to do with this matchup? Jody, do
Yeah,
you have
I wanted to quickly let you guys know that the Terrell Smith and Tyreek Stevenson rotation wasn't an Eberflus thing. It was a Tyreek Stevenson wanted to give, like, is okay with it because he loves Terrell Smith. So it was kind of his suggestion to go back to it. Now, I do think that Terrell Smith does, for the most part, play better than Stevenson. He did give up a couple big plays against the Lions, but anyone's gonna do that. I mean, Tyreek Stevenson did have that big fumble too against the Lions, so like you can weigh up both of them, but the rotation is not a coach thing, it's a player thing.
Yeah, I personally I really like that. I wasn't aware of that, but that makes a lot more sense. If you have players that are willing to be in that rotation, you see it all the time with the defensive line. You've got several players that rotate in like that. So if you have two capable corners, now at this point we can probably all agree that we probably have more confidence in Terrell Smith than Tyreek right now. And it might bode well even better for Tyreek Stevens' development if he sees another corner playing in that position and, learn from each other kind of thing. I think that might work out better for him. But I do like that. I like that that is kind of a rotation thing right now and that both players are okay with it. But if you guys don't have anything else when it comes to keys to victory and everything like that, we can kind of get into the conversation around Kyle Shanahan. Now, it's been reported by Mike Florio, I believe, that the Bears might have interest in trading for Kyle Shanahan. And you know, whether this is just a thing that's being put out there to kind of get smoke and clicks, I don't think it's personally out of the question, just because it's more of a rare thing for coaches to get traded, but it's not super rare. You know, we saw it with Sean Payton, the Broncos buying out his rights and him becoming their head coach. And there's countless examples in the past that I'll get into in here just a little bit. But Isaac, I'll kind of start with you. Do you feel that it's plausible at all if and whether or not the Bears would be interested in trading for Kyle Shanahan? And what do you think that might look like? Just in general, the whole situation, your thoughts on the Bears potentially trading for Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah, so going back to what you were talking about in regards to Mike Florio, he was basically saying like the Bears should explore that avenue of trading for a coach, and that one coach even reached out to him and was basically like, "Oh, why didn't you mention me on this list?" So that can mean, you know, maybe it was Kyle that said that, maybe it was Sean McVay, maybe it was Kevin Stefanski or whoever it was, but in my opinion, I actually wrote an article about this. It's called Why the Bears Shouldn't Flow with the Idea of Training for a Head Coach. So my thing is, I think training for a head coach can have his benefits. Like with Sean Payton, he's really helped turn around the Broncos, and there's been accounts of that in the past, like Tony Dungy and stuff like that. But for me, I think the Bears are in a position right now where they can't afford to lose their draft compensation or draft picks in general. I feel like there's so many holes on this team that could be used or that can be addressed due to the draft. And like, I get that we have multiple second round picks, but we really need to use it on the trenches. Like, we got to invest in the offensive line, in the defensive line. And free agency isn't going to solve everything. Like, a lot of people are saying, oh, we could sign Trey Smith or we could sign Ronnie Stanley and go in the draft and we'll be fine. No, it's not how it works. I honestly don't think Trey Smith is even going to be available when it comes to free agency. I think the Chiefs are going to figure something out because they seem to always do with their star players. But for me, it's like, you know what? Like, if I want to start building around Caleb Williams, I want to do it through the draft. I don't want to do it through free agency. I feel like free agency is for those really good teams to just get a couple key pieces. It's not for teams to build their entire roster on through free agency. Like, I feel like the best teams in the NFL right now, like the Lions and the Chiefs, they build through the draft, and it's very evident. Most of their starters are draft players, even if it's not essentially like the first or second round pick, like they're built through the draft. So for me, I don't think trading for Kyle Shanahan is something that the Bears should explore. I think there are plenty of good options out right now. I think if we can sign someone like Ben Johnson, that'll be perfect. Even if we just keep Thomas Brown, I'll be happy with that. If we go another avenue and sign a hire Mike Vrabel, I'll be fine with that. But I think trading for a head coach, especially if it's going to cost us like a first or a second round pick or both, it's too much to ask for. And you know, what if there is a possibility that the 49ers fire Kyle Shanahan? I don't think it's possible, but or I don't think it's going to be like an actual thing, but maybe they do. And there's another scenario where maybe Kyle Shanahan is like, you know what? It's time for me to move on. I don't want to be the coach of the 49ers anymore. I see this young kid that he just called him born to play the position over here in Chicago. Let me go over here in Chicago and try this out. And you know, you'll never know what's going to happen. So Joe, I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on the Bears potentially trading for Kyle Shanahan?
First off, before I get to Kyle Shanahan, you mentioned Trey Smith. I think there's about a 95% chance that he is a free agent. The Chiefs just don't have the money to re-sign him. He's going to command a big contract, and they have other players to re-sign to. I think it's more likely that he's a free, gets signed to a different team than signs back with the Chiefs. And then to the Kyle Shanahan conversation, Matt Verderan of Sports Illustrated was on CHGO today. He was asked the question, what if he thinks that the Niners would trade Kyle Shanahan, and like the validity, like the realistic, if it was realistic or not. What he said is, he said, I don't believe that the 49ers would trade Kyle Shanahan. If anything, Kyle Shanahan would be the one to take a break from coaching, like a year off from coaching, but he doesn't believe that the Niners would trade him just because, just because he doesn't think that, and he doesn't believe that Shanahan wants to be done with the Niners, completely. Like he just, like I said, a year off. Like, I mean, I guess that's what Peyton did, right? He took a year off and then he got traded. Well, not traded, but the Broncos traded for him. So, but at that point, a year would be too late. I also just don't think it's a good idea to trade for Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, he's a great coach. He's a good coach. Even a great coach. But I don't want to give up 2 firsts and 2 seconds or a first and 2 seconds, whatever it would take. It's going to be a lot. Correct me if I'm wrong when you get back up, Eli, but I'm pretty sure there's a when John Gruden got traded from the Raiders, from it was when John Gruden got traded earlier in the 2000s. I think it was 2 ones and 2 twos. Now, I think at that point Gruden had won a Super Bowl, so it's a little bit different. But it'd still be a lot of capital for a lot of capital for Shanahan. I just wouldn't do it at this point. Like, as I said, we need to build through the draft. And I mean, I kind of disagree with him on the free agency thing. I think we should also build through free agency. We can more build through the draft, but we need to sign some people if we can in free agency. But yeah, I don't think Shanahan is a realistic option. I don't think that McVay is a realistic option either. People have been floating up about the idea of trading for McVay too. Duran on CJ also said that he doesn't believe that McVay would want to like wants to coach once he leaves Los Angeles. So he believes that he's just going to go to the booth and commentate. So I just don't think McVay is a realistic option either. Now I would love one of those two, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I'll pass it over to you, Eli, right to you.
Yeah, so you were right on the money with John Gruden. Going from the Raiders to Tampa, it costed 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and $8 million sent to the Raiders. But some other examples, just for conversation's sake, Herm Edwards, this happened in 2006, traded from the Jets to the Chiefs just for a 4th-round pick. Bruce Arians, a more recent example from the Arizona Cardinals to the Buccaneers, was just a 6th-round pick, and then the Bucs also got a 7th-rounder. So, Bruce Arians got a Super Bowl win out of that and an NFC Championship appearance just for that little bit of capital. Now, that's a completely different situation, but another example, the most recent, Sean Payton from Saints to Broncos, 1st-round pick, a 2nd-round pick, and the Broncos, excuse me, the Broncos also ended up getting a 3rd-round pick. And for the entire conversation's sake, 3 of those 6 prior trades resulted in at least one Super Bowl for the acquiring team. Belichick obviously has won 6 trophies with the Patriots, and Gruden and Arians both won a championship with the Bucks. And Holmgren, this happened in 1999, Packers to Seahawks, a 2nd-round pick. That resulted in a Super Bowl appearance for the Seahawks. Now, not a win, but historically, it seems like it pans out more oftentimes than not when you get that proven experience. Now, whether or not Bo Nix is gonna win a Super Bowl this year, that remains to be seen. To me, probably unlikely, but at the very least, Sean Payton is getting a lot out of Bo Nix and that Broncos squad right now from where it was a year ago. So, it's just a matter of what organizations, where they think their roster is at. Now, I don't think the Bears are a Kyle Shanahan away from winning the Super Bowl. I don't think that's where we're at right now. So I agree. I think keeping the capital and getting a guy that you take a home run swing on in Ben Johnson and further continuing to develop your roster and hoping that he's the guy, I think is probably the better approach, because we don't want to, get Kyle Shanahan on this team next year with less draft capital than we could have had and more contributors than we could have had. And maybe getting to a 9-8, 10-7 record, and having a wild card appearance, maybe winning a wild card game and then getting eliminated in the 2nd round. Like, I think we need to further continue to build this team and have it in the position to just make the run and go for it. So I agree with you guys. I would love, again, as you kind of said, Joe, I would love both Shanahan or McVay on this team. I just don't know if the Bears are willing to cough up what it's going to take for that to happen. But yeah, I think that's kind of the whole conversation in regards to Shanahan. I think there's smoke to it. I just don't think that it's ever going to result in a fire, so to speak. So, with that being said, do you guys have anything else with in regards to Kyle Shanahan or trading for whoever it is and how much capital that might take? Okay, so we can kind of move on, I think, probably to the final topic of conversation. Keenan Allen this Thursday was talking to DJ Moore, and DJ Moore asked Keenan Allen to kind of run it back next season. We've kind of talked about this off air in our opinions in re-signing Keenan Allen this year. In the first half of the year, I think we were all kind of on the, yeah, this experiment just hasn't worked out. Fourth round pick in the gutter, and it just seemed like a wasted move. But Keenan Allen has slowly, over the past few weeks, kind of become the guy for Caleb Williams. Several touchdowns. I'd have to pull up the full statistics on what Keenan Allen's done in these last few weeks, but it's been impressive to say the least. We also saw that earlier in the year in that Jacksonville game, a main target for Caleb Williams. But Joe, I'll start with you. Do you think that the Bears and Keenan Allen should run it back next season? And what do you think is a reasonable range for that to happen? Or if you think it's a good idea in general, Joe?
So I'm 50-50. If we get what we've been getting out of Keenan Allen the past 3 weeks next year, yeah, sure. But if we see what we've been seeing, what we saw the first seven games, well, six games, because I guess he did have that good game against Jacksonville. But if we see what we saw the first six games, then I'm out. I mean, I don't think it was all Keenan's fault that he wasn't performing well with Waldron. Waldron just wasn't a good, very good OC, but he also just was dropping a lot of balls when he was getting thrown the ball those first 6 weeks. So I don't know. I feel like Keenan has fixed it, and if the Bears were to re-sign him next year, he has a connection now with Caleb. So I don't think he would drop as many passes. He might still drop some, because not every receiver does. Every receiver doesn't catch every pass, but so if we were to re-sign him. I think I floated this out before, not before we talked today, but before, like when we've been talking off air. I think I said 12.5 million for 12.5 million each year for 2 years, so that's 25 mil. I think that's kind of my base, not baseline, but like the highest I would go, because he's, older, and that's a pretty good veteran deal. Now, if Keenan will accept that, it's a different story. He might think he's worth more, especially because whatever his contract's at now, he didn't want to take a pay cut to stay with the Chargers. So maybe he won't. I mean, it sounds like he wants to either be here or in Los Angeles. So maybe he'll be more willing to take a pay cut this year, but I don't know. So I'd be okay with the Bears keeping Keenan. I just don't know if it's actually realistic. Pass it over to you, Isaac. What do you think on this?
Yeah, so I'm on the same page with you, Joe. And what I just want to mention that one reason Keenan Allen wants to come back with the Bears is because of Caleb Williams. And he was saying basically his potential is through the roof. I think the sky's the limit for his talent. And I've seen when Keenan's on the sidelines with Caleb, he always looks like a bigger brother to Caleb, like a big brother. And I think OC, the new OC, Chris Beatty, he was previously the wide receivers coach for the Bears, but he was talking about Keenan Allen today, and he was saying that Keenan is the most, or basically like the smartest person he's ever met, smarter in terms of like football and stuff like that. And he was joking around, like he's like, oh, maybe Keenan is actually the wide receivers coach and not me. But I agree with Joe. I think 12.5 million is where I'm cutting the line. Like if anything up more than that, I don't think it's worth it for Keenan Allen. If the Bears were able to maybe sign a 2-year deal with them being able to get out of it after year one, that would be huge and give most of the guaranteed money in the first year. Because Keenan Allen, like you mentioned, Eli, like he's been a huge security blanket for Caleb Williams. He's really had a nice couple games recently, and that route that he ran against the Lions for that, I think it was his second touchdown. It was a really nice route. Like, it was one of the best routes I've ever seen. So, I mean, he still got it even though he's 32 years old. It's just a matter of health. Like, for me, I always, when I'm looking at, if I was a GM and I'm looking at players, I always would tell myself this, like the best of ability is availability. And unfortunately for Keenan, his availability hasn't been what we expected it to be this year. But hopefully, you know, if he does really want to stay in Chicago, I think he will understand that the Bears are not really in a position to give him the money that he got this year. And maybe he'll have a conversation, they could work something out, and he'll take a veteran minimum or something like that, and then he could be able to stay and play with Caleb Williams and help him develop. And I know he's probably had he probably has that in the back of his mind, like, if I stay, even if it's not for a lot of money, I'm still helping out my guy and Caleb Williams and helping him develop. Because if I leave, I mean, it's not gonna be the end of the world, but it's gonna be a huge loss for Caleb especially. So those are basically my thoughts. Eli, did you have anything in regards to potentially re-signing or not re-signing Keenan Allen?
Yeah, so I think we're all kind of right there on the same page. Just if he's willing to take a cheaper deal, then yeah, I'm all aboard a cheap 1 or 2 year deal to kind of maybe end his playing career with Chicago. That'd be really cool for him to do. But in regards to re-signing him, I think, you know, he's not having the best career with Chicago. I would say the best year of his career is what I'm trying to say. At least when it comes to yardage, he's at 441 right now on 44 receptions. So not going to match his or surpass his career best this season with the Bears. But as for touchdowns, he has 5 on the year and his career high is 8. So I don't think it's out of reach for him to set a new touchdowns in a season, single season personal record for him to have that happen in Chicago. So that might be something on his mind. And if you remember earlier in the year, I can't remember exactly when this was, but he was asked about a contract extension and he said he had a number in mind. So I'm curious as to what that number was and if that number has changed depending on his play this season with the Bears. So that's something to keep in mind. But yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to re-signing him if he's willing to take a bit of a pay cut. At least, and I think 12 and a half is a good number, kind of on that threshold, Joe. So I wouldn't be opposed at all. But that kind of wraps up the Keenan Allen conversation. So we will get into our game predictions this week for San Francisco and Chicago. I'll start it off. It's really one of those games where the injury report kind of dictates the matchup. And you know, you can make the case for that every week, but it is very true because there's several big names offensively for this Bears team. So the injury reports for the coming few days are going to be major for the implications of this game. I think if DeAndre Swift goes, give me the Bears winning this one 24 to 20 in favor, obviously, of Chicago. And if he doesn't, I think the total for that game goes down a bit and it'll be one of those pass-heavy attacks from the Bears that we've seen Caleb Williams have in the past. And in that case, you know, I think it'll be kind of like a 19-13 game in favor of the Bears. But that's kind of my prediction for that one. Isaac, your prediction for Bears Niners this week?
What I'm really hoping for is if we lose, I hope it's not a close game. And if we win, I hope it's not a close game. I can't deal with this anymore. I really can't. Like, it's too much on my mental health and it just sucks. But I think, you know, these last couple of weeks, we've really just been pessimistic with this Bears team. We were saying, you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to beat this team. I don't know if we could bet against the Lions, but this is the first week in a long time where I felt, actually, since the Commanders game, where I felt like this Bears team should win. And I think the Bears team will end up winning, regardless of the injuries and stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, the 49ers also have their injuries as well. So we can't really blame it on that. I do think we kind of have to lower our expectations with this Bears team though, because it's going to be Thomas Brown's first game as the head coach, and he's not going to be in the booth. He's going to be on the sidelines now. So we can't expect like a high flying offense, and there's going to be some challenges during the game. Definitely. I am not getting that out of the way of the picture, but I do think that the Bears will end up winning, and it's going to be great for this team overall. I would say it would probably be a high scoring game. And hopefully it's not a close game like I mentioned earlier. So I would say Bears 29, 49ers 19. And I'll toss it over to you, Joe.
Yeah, basically, almost I agree with everything you guys said. I think the injury report will dictate this game. I have the Bears winning no matter who plays, even if we have Joe Schmo at running back. I think the Bears win. We'll go 27-17 Chicago. I just think the injury, like the defensive injuries for the Niners, are going to be too big, and if they don't have Trent Williams, they're going to be hurting, especially because I think Montez. I don't know if Montez Sweat would be going up against him, but if Eric Washington is smart and he's smarter than Eberflus, he'll put Sweat where Williams isn't, which I think he will do. So I think the Bears will win this game 27-17. I'll pass it back over to you, Eli.
Yeah, I think this is a game that the Bears, this is the one that will break the losing streak, and I think it's a good week to happen for Thomas Brown to gain his confidence and for this Bears team moving forward to just get some decent wins going into next year. Because at this point, anything could happen, but I don't expect the Bears to go on a 5-game winning streak. And if that gets put on freezing cold takes, then I'm completely okay with that. For the Bears to sneak in at 9-8 again, that's probably not going to happen, but. That's the NFL. But I do like these predictions, guys. But moving forward, we have Falcons Vikings as the Packers and Lions faced off on Thursday Night Football. But Falcons Vikings on Sunday at noon. I'll kind of start this one off. This is the big Kirko revenge game, if you kind of think about it. Obviously traded to Atlanta. They started off pretty hot. But now they sit at a record of 6-6, which in the NFC South is right there in the mix for the division. So, I wish we played in a division like that to where we could be right at 500 and still be playoff eligible. But that's not the case, obviously, for the North. But this one's a toss-up because we've seen the Vikings at times look like the best team in the league, and the defense was flying and firing on all cylinders. But I think this is one of those games to where the Vikings come back down to earth. Nothing the Falcons do, overly impresses me. And I think Kirk has struggled the last few weeks, but I do think they have enough on offense to give this Vikings defense fits. And I'm gonna take the Falcons to win this game just because at some point I think the Vikings have to lose one to where it kind of brings them down to earth and maybe they get more level heads than what they've been. I think the Vikings are a good team. I don't think they are 10-2 good. I think they are worse than their record shows personally. And we saw that in the Bears Vikings game. But give me the Falcons in a close one, 27-24, in favor of the Atlanta Falcons. Joe, I'll toss it to you on this one.
And it's legitimately seriously like a toss-up game for me. I know the Falcons haven't played well. Their defense kind of isn't good. And Kirko threw four picks last week. A lot of two of the four picks were bad throws, like really, really bad throws. They also do have talent on the offense, and that secondary of the Vikings, at least at cornerback, isn't that good. Like, they haven't been good all year, but they've just been getting to the quarterback and second and quarterback. So it's masked that. Now I think that they can get to Kirk and sack him because Kirk doesn't like to get out of the pocket and be off a spot. So if they can get to him, which I think they will, they have a very good shot at winning. I sort of agree with you on the fact that I don't think the Vikings are like a great team. They are a really, really good team. Some has played well enough to obviously make the team 10-2. They have a plethora of weapons on offense. They have a really aggressive defense, which is part of the reason why they're 10-2. A whole lot to say. I'm probably still gonna go to the Vikings just because I don't believe in Kirk. I think we saw some really good play from him at the beginning of the year, after the first 2 weeks, but now he's gonna continue to show that he probably shouldn't be starting. He probably shouldn't have gotten that big contract. And maybe the drafting Michael Penix was the right decision. I think the Vikings win this. Let's go 24-17. I'll pass it over to you, Isaac.
Yeah, like this is the toss-up of toss-up games. Like I don't know, like it's really hard to choose the winner, and I'm pretty sure people that are betting on this game don't know either. They're probably really scared to choose one team or the other, but I think it comes down to really, are we gonna get the version of Kirk Cousins that played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the first time around, where he was going absolutely crazy on offense? Or are we going to get the version of Kirk Cousins that we saw last week against the Chargers? And same thing with the Vikings. Are we going to get this version of Sam Darnold that we've been seeing this year? Or are we going to get the New York Jets Sam Darnold? So it comes down to that for me, because both teams are, I feel like both teams are kind of on the verge of like just having a losing streak. And I hate to say that because I don't like being mean, but that's how I feel about these two teams. But when I'm really thinking, I was really thinking about this game when you guys were talking about your predictions and stuff like that. I know Kirk Cousins is on a short leash because he hasn't been playing well as of recent, and they do have a first round rookie quarterback that's just sitting and waiting to get his opportunity. And I think that's probably running through his mind this week. I'm talking about Kirk here, where he's like, this is gonna be one of the most important games of my life. Like, if I don't do well this game, then things can happen, and I may no longer be starting next week. So I'm thinking that Kirk Cousins is gonna bounce back and be able to beat this Vikings team, especially with everything that's going on with how he's been playing this year. People have been criticizing him. He's playing against his former team, that didn't want to re-sign him and stuff like that. But I think it's gonna end up being a Falcons win. It's gonna be a close one. It's probably gonna be like 27 to 24, Falcons win, in my opinion. And I'll toss it back over to you, Eli.
Well, me and Isaac are on the Falcons train here, and Joe is into the Minnesota Vikings this week, which is granted because they still are a good team, as you mentioned. But again, we all kind of agreed this is a toss-up, and it's just one of those games that could go either way. Another quick thing before we head on out of here. This is the team again that swept the rug underneath the Chicago Bears for Matthew Judon for a third round pick, if you recall that. And if you're curious about how it's gone, Matthew Judon has 2.5 sacks on the season for the Atlanta Falcons. So, it worked out, I think, pretty well for Chicago. Kind of saved the Falcons, kind of saved us from ourselves on that one. Now, I think Judon's still a good player, but that's not the production you're looking for when you trade a third round pick. So maybe we avoided another bad trade in Chicagoland, but. With that being said, I think that's going to wrap it up here. We both, excuse me, all three of us picking Chicago to win this week, and me and Isaac picking Atlanta in the upset over the Minnesota Vikings. Joe taking Minnesota in that one. That line, by the way, was at 4.5, -4.5 in favor of Minnesota. So, a slight edge to Minnesota this week, but not overly in support of Minnesota. So, again, a toss up there. But with that being said, as always, go like our shorts, our reels, follow us on TikTok, follow these guys on Twitter. They both write great articles and repost lots of cool things in regards to the NFL. But again, like our shorts, watch these full episodes, and be sure to support us as we continue coming out with these episodes and talking Bears football. With that being said, we are going to see you next time.